That's it, folks. The world's a better place because you were here to join us. My name is Matt Brown, and I am the host of the Productive Conversations podcast. And we are here to reflect and react to the end of March Madness. Let us reflect on the Final Four on both the men's and women's sides. And we have a champion in the UConn Huskies for the men. They are now back-to-back champions. And we have South Carolina completing an undefeated season. Congratulations to the Lady Gamecocks. So to reflect on this great day, I have Russ Miller, the biggest UConn fan I know. Russ, great to see you. And I'm glad.
Good afternoon. There's plenty more Husky maniacs where that came from.
No doubt about it.
Thanks for having me on your show today again, Matt. It's been a great run here for the Huskies. 43-3, their last 46 contests, 15 straight elimination victories. If they lost, they'd be eliminated. Two in the postseason, that's 15 straight postseason victories. Six in the tournament last year, three in the Big East this year, six in the tournament this year, 15 straight. And the tournament, all by more than 13 points. One of the most dominating runs in definitely in program history, but in modern NCAA basketball history. You'd have to go back to UCLA to find the dominance of Connecticut. And, you know, Hurley's been talking today about a three-peat, which I find to be enormously unbelievable. But I wouldn't put it past him. I certainly wouldn't bet against him on anything right now. He could run for governor and win in a landslide. Maybe even president. He put his name in the ballot this year to run for president of the United States. He would win Connecticut. He'd at least win one state. He's been a tremendous coach, tremendous team, and it's been a great weekend, great season for UConn hoops. Just a great team to watch play. If you just from a fundamental standpoint, from a normalcy stand, you know, just a great team to watch from a game plan standpoint. They let Edie get his points, and then they took care of the rest of the team pretty easily. And here you go. You've got a champion on your hands here again for the second time in a row. And by the way, they are favored at 9-1 to win it again next year, which I think is bizarre, crazy. But again, I wouldn't bet against UConn.
Yeah, so they completed this championship by defeating a number one seed in Purdue by 75-60, as you mentioned and as you made clear. And I'm glad I was wrong that they just dominated throughout this entire run. Again, all different schools pretty much, with the exception of San Diego State. They already played in last year, and they played the Sweet 16 this year. And I mean, look at it. As you mentioned, some of the big names with UConn, you're talking about Tristan Newton. Before we recorded, he's even got his number retired. We had
his number's not retired, but his name is up on the Huskies of Honor. He's number two is up there, Tristan Newton, on the Huskies of Honor. So he got his name on the Wall of Honor already. Someday, you know, depending on how his NBA career pans out, he may be up on the – he may get – and other players on the team may get their numbers. But also the 2024 team is also on the Huskies of Honor already. So it's a great honor. Dan Hurley is being sought after. He's telling everybody he's staying at UConn, which he is staying at UConn. His character is his father's character, right? His father was a legendary coach in New Jersey, at Jersey City, St. Anthony's. Won 26 state championships. The door was knocking for him to come coach a college team many times. Different college programs were looking for him. What did he do? He stayed at St. Anthony's. He was loyal. He had a good thing going. The same thing's happening with Dan Hurley. Someday, maybe 10 years from now, he may go to the NBA, to the New York Knicks. Not too many teams he'd go to either. He's got to stay on the East Coast. His wife loves Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And, he's a perfect match for us, and we're a perfect match for him. So I look for him to stay at UConn for many years.
I believe that, and UConn winning their sixth national championship on the men's side.
And the fourth one by Coach Tom Moore. Tom Moore was on Calhoun's staff, Coach Calhoun's staff, for two seasons when they won two out of the three. And now he's on Dan Hurley's staff for two out of the three. So as an assistant coach, as a coach in the program, Coach Moore has four rings. That shouldn't be forgotten about either. Four rings. He has the most rings of any coach on the staff. Technically, Jim Calhoun's responsible for all six if you really want to think about it, right? UConn wouldn't be UConn without Coach Calhoun. But at the end of the day, Hurley goes into second place with two behind Calhoun. Kevin Ollie, of course, has one. We shouldn't forget about Kevin Ollie. He did win one, you know, as much as it didn't end well, he did win one. But, you know, I think if Dan Hurley stays at Connecticut, I think he surpasses Coach Calhoun as far as championships go. Will he ever surpass him from a GOAT legend, from a, you know, the mountain might, the mountain could go side to side, though. That's how good a coach Dan Hurley has is right now, and the program he's running and the culture he's running and bringing back the old guys. He really is the perfect fit. And, I mean, he's got two championships in 6 years, back-to-back. He's only been there 6 years. That's a relatively short time. Once he was able to get all his players in there, the sky's the limit. So I would not count him out in the next few weeks. He's probably already working on building his roster for next year. Who's going to stay? Who's going to go? Who can we bring in? So it's a wonder. It'll be very interesting to have this conversation in July, maybe, or August, when we preview college basketball coming up. And by the way, it can't happen soon enough, right? Because the Mets stink and the football teams are terrible in New York. But you know what I'm saying, Matt. It's a wonderful team. It's a great program, and it's Connecticut's team. And that's one thing that's also been lost, whether you live in Greenwich, Connecticut, or Ledger, Connecticut, or Plainfield, or this field, or that, Urbanville, wherever the heck, all the different, Lebanon, Connecticut, New Milford, Connecticut. It doesn't matter. Storrs, Connecticut, Windsor, Connecticut, wherever you are in Connecticut, this is Connecticut's team. Whether you went to the school or not, and you root for UConn, you should root for UConn because it's a state team. It's the only quote-unquote pro team we have in the state of Connecticut. It's the UConn. Men's and women's basketball teams, preferably obviously the men, only because the competition's a little better. But the women, you know, they're legendary. And that's why Connecticut is truly, Connecticut in general, not only Storrs, Connecticut, but Connecticut's the basketball capital of the world. So for all those high school coaches out there, you should be emulating UConn.
There are the ones, and you know, Dan Hurley's famous, "You better watch out for us. You better get us now because we're coming."
We're coming for you. Matt, yeah. We're coming for you.
He said that right before the pandemic.
To Villanova. And Jay Wright respected what he said a lot. He talked about him a lot. It's amazing. The Big East teams used to hate each other. Now they're rallying around each other. It's bizarre to me. It's bizarre that everybody's rooting for Connecticut, you know, even in the Big East. But back-to-back is no – it's legendary. And I'll tell you, if they ever were to three-peat, you might as well go from the – Texas, where the Final Four is next year, right to Springfield, to the Hall of Fame with this guy Hurley.
Really?
Repeat. It's extremely hard to repeat, and it's not even possible to three-peat. Get all the breaks. I mean, we've been fortunate, no injuries.
Dominant too, easily covering them and never sweating. So I did see the only time there's been a three-peat champion on the men's side is John Wooden, done it twice for UCLA back in the early 60s and seven, and obviously that run in the late 60s and the 70s with obviously Lou Alcindor, aka Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Bill Walton for what he's done there, and people already comparing Hurley to Wooden right now. Think it's justified? Not recency bias?
I'll tell you what, I would compare it to him. I think he's, like I said, and you know why I judge it this way, Matt? He's not getting all the best players, the five stars.
Yeah.
His best coaching. He's a strong recruiter. Don't get me wrong. He's an excellent recruiter, right? Because he gets players that fit his culture, right? His culture, his style, his what he wants in a team. So for that, he's an excellent recruiter. But where he earns his most money is from June 1st to November 1st, or June 1st to October 15th, or whenever the first night is for basketball, June, July, August. That's like, what, 5-6 months? Well, everyone else is vacationing on the islands. He's working his team. His team's working hard to develop individual and team skills. Competitiveness gets up. And that's where he earns his most money, is from June to October 1st. And he's just a great coach. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, they're jealous. They're, you know, he's made some comments there in public. But That's part of his persona. That's who he is. And, you know, I would love to have known what he said to Zach Edey there during the game. When he turned around and looked, you know, when he turned around and during a foul that looked like Zach Edey, by the way, got away with a lot of fouls. I mean, no offense, Matt, but it's pretty obvious they wanted to keep them in somewhat in the game for most of the game, the referees. But yeah, at the end of the day, UConn's a winner. Hurley's going to be Hurley. He touched the player by accident in the second half. He didn't even realize he was touching Cam Spencer with 2.5 minutes to go. But he's right up there. And if he happens to three-peat, yeah, I would drive him, like I said, right to the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's already Hall of Fame, but I'd drive him right there. I wouldn't make him wait till he's retired. I'd put him in the Hall of Fame as soon as possible.
I like that. I like
and
that.
And I think Tom Moore deserves to have a banner up there in the Huskies of Honor, his own name. Like Chris Daly has her name, CD. Tom Moore deserves to be up on the Wall of Fame up at UConn. And I'm going to send an email to Dave Benedict, and I'm going to get a few people sign off on that, some of those old players. But he's done a great job, too, in bringing and keeping in touch with the old players and making it a big, big family from way back in the 80s. So he deserves his accolades, too, as an assistant coach.
No doubt about that. Now, Russ, out of the Huskies that remain on the team for now, who do you expect to be NBA lottery picks?
Well, we have Stephon Castle is definitely going to be an NBA lottery pick, and he's probably definitely going to declare. All indications are 100% he's going to declare. We have Tristan Newton and Cam Spencer who've run out of eligibility. Tristan Newton will not be a lottery pick, but will get drafted, in my opinion. And I believe Cam Spencer could get drafted late second round or get a two-way contract. Thing is, Cam Spencer, there's a small percentage of hope that if another player wins a lawsuit against the NCAA, that he would fall under that same category and would then be allowed to come back for another year. And if he is allowed, he would come back. The big question mark, and I don't think it's that big, but it's leaning. It was about 80-20 before the tournament that he would go pro playing it. Now I'd say it's 50-50. And the only reason I'm saying that is, did his stock drop a little bit? Is it fair to say he's having a lot of fun in college with UConn? Yes. Is it a situation where does he have to rush to the NBA? He's only 20 years old, Donovan Klingon. So that's the most intriguing one. Caravan's probably coming back. His family's all about getting his degree. Caravan's definitely coming back. He's only a junior. DR, I believe, is going to come back. The question is, will Klingon come back? Will Donovan Klingon come back? Will Cam Spencer get a break and come back somehow? But Klingon, I'd say it's 10% that one of the two comes back. You know, it's very low possibility. So he'd be replacing four starters right now. That's what he should be looking to do. But it is an outside hope that Klingon or Spencer could come back. Klingon is not out of eligibility. He's only a sophomore. He'll be a junior. So, and with the nil, he's not going to lose out on money. He's done all kinds of advertisements. It would be basically his team. You know, he'd be like Purdue Zach Edey, so to speak. It would, you know, and he's won championships. So if he comes back, that 9-1 is legitimate now because now you have a big guy, right? And you still have Samson Johnson. But we're kind of wishful thinking. I believe at the end of the day, if I had to predict that one, I think he's going to the pros. Whether he's a lottery pick, I don't know. I can't answer that.
Well, we're going to be on the lookout for that.
I'm not an NBA scout, Matt. I'm not. I'd like to think I am, but I'm not. In fact, I wonder about these mock drafts, you know, how true they are, what the agenda is and all that stuff. Please. But I look at Solo Ball, Jalen Stewart, two guys that when Steph Castle was not playing, Solo Ball did an acceptable job in his absence. And then he didn't play much the rest of the year when he came back. And then you have Jalen Stewart. Rumors are he's being offered millions of dollars to go play somewhere else in college. So there's been a lot of, you know, the NIL's changed a lot. You know, Dan Hurley has to not only recruit, he has to retain. And then he has to pluck players off the portal that fit both his culture and his system and who he wants in his program. So there's a lot of work. And he might be losing an assistant coach in Kamani Young, which means he's got to get another assistant coach. So there's a lot of work. Coach Hurley waiting for him after the parade's done on Saturday, and then he could start to you know, reset for next year, reboot it up, and see who's going to do what and where we're going. So,
and go for the big re-3.
I would think this week there won't be any major announcements until next week. That would be my guess, because it's already Wednesday. Then now the parade is Saturday. Dust is finally starting to settle, but then you get ready for the parade. So beginning Sunday, I would think that they'll start to figure out who's, you know, they'll start having player meetings and all that other stuff. I would think that would be early next week.
All but right, clearly,
they're on an amazing heater, right, in sports. They're an amazing run right now. And I would think he's going to pour all his energy into keeping that run alive until the run dies. So hopefully the guys come back. If all the players who could come back would come back, they could three-peat, because that would mean Castle's back, Klingon's back, Caravan's back, Diarra's back, and Samson Johnson's back. Mm-hmm. Polo Ball and Jalen Stewart. That's seven quality players, but that's not the reality of it. The reality is they're going to lose two or three guys to the NBA.
But hey, that's a good thing though, because that's what the development of those players are for, and you want to see him take that next step and be the great UConn alumnus who became a great NBA players, Hall of Famer Ray Allen, obviously Rip Hamilton.
It's going to be hard for anybody It's going to be hard for anybody in the state of Connecticut to graduate high school, go play at UConn, and do as well as Donovan Klingon has done. To me, he's the star of the show because he's from Bristol, Connecticut. To me, he's a Connecticut guy. He stayed in Connecticut. He went to a public school in Connecticut. The grass wasn't greener for him anywhere else, if you know what I mean. He stayed the course. He had decent coaches. I heard his coach talk the other day on television. It was on the news, talking about Donovan Klingon and his behavior. And he's had a work ethic since he's in the ninth grade and all that stuff. To me, Donovan Klingon is the star of the show. To me, he deserves to be the star of the show. And someday he'll get a payday at the NBA level.
I agree with that. And for the ladies' side, ladies' Huskies did fall short to Caitlin Clark and her Iowa squad, losing by only a score of 71-69. South Carolina handled NC State pretty well, the 19-point victory. How do you feel about the Lady Huskies, unfortunately, falling short?
Listen, the future's bright for them, too. They don't lose Paige. Paige is coming back for another season, and hopefully good health for the team. They have a few injured players like Ozzie Fudd coming back. They just got Sarah Strong to commit, I believe, a top recruit. Ooh. The women's game has gained popularity. In fact, the ratings were out, and the women's championship drew allegedly 4 million more than the men's game. Well, when you put on Sunday at 3 p.m., on ESPN and ABC, right? ESPN and ABC. So the game was on ABC. That's free television for most Americans, right? But when you put a game on ABC, Matt, you're going to get a higher rating than when you put a game on TBS, you know? It's a no-brainer. I mean, so, you know, the men's game drew 15, about 15. The other game drew 19, according to the ratings. Whether a lot of people watched it on their phones, whatever, it was a 9:20 start. So there's a lot of factors that go into that. Probably a lot of people thought the men's that UConn would dominate. I mean, so maybe that turned people off and it was a late, 9:20 start. But the women's game's grown in popularity. Part of it is because Connecticut's not winning every year anymore like they used to. Now they haven't won since 2016. So now we're going on 9 years since they've won it all. They are 17-1 in championship games. But, yeah, the call at the end was a bad call. Everybody knows it was probably the right call, potentially. It was just shady. It was a 50-50 call either way, right? To make a call like that in that spot, let the kids determine the game. So that's been said over and over again by everybody. So it's beating a dead drum there. So I think – UConn got screwed a little bit, but they'll be back next year. They'll be right back in the Final Four. I used to kid around, their season starts at the Final Four, and that's how it'll feel next year. Well, they play the Big East is a very weak conference with basketball, girl, women's basketball, very weak. It is. So, and they play the first two rounds at Storrs. So, I'm not taking anything away, by the way, from the legendary Gino Auriemma, but you know. When Dan Hurley came on campus, he talked a lot to Gino and to Jim Calhoun. But now I'm thinking maybe Gino should be talking to Dan a few times, you know?
Yeah, maybe, but you got the combo
Luke,
you
maybe
want.
Maybe they could run Luke Murray's offense.
Really exciting.
But yeah, no, it's he's done a great job, and they'll be back. They'll be back. I wasn't surprised at all that South Carolina beat Caitlin Clark's Iowa team. It takes more than one player to win, right? Look what happened with Purdue. Same thing. You need a team. South Carolina had the better team by a lot, and they showed it in the championship game.
Dominant all season long, and now we get to see some of these ladies get drafted in the next couple weeks, and their season starts as early as May. So very intriguing WNBA season coming on, especially with your obvious first overall pick to the Indiana Fever, Caitlin Clark. And we'll see where this
I wonder how
all
much
goes.
They make, how much that first pick makes.
Yeah, you know? I wonder. I wonder, too.
They might have, they're going to start getting paid more money, I think, the women. The
WNBA
women.
Exciting to see that as well. And
because
we'll
the colleges have to pay. The colleges will pay some of the kids to keep them in college, right? They won't go to the WNBA until they're done with college. They'll keep them. With the nil, it creates a better, should create a better product long term. So.
And I think we're going to get some good stuff with that. But unfortunately, that's it, though, Russ. I mean, what did you think of March Madness in general, though? I have heard people say, in general, maybe March Madness as a whole was a bit underwhelming. Not too many buzzer beaters. No real Cinderella teams. I mean, we did have some interesting games and something to watch, and especially with the UConn storyline. But I can understand as a whole for the country. Maybe
well,
it was
you
a
had
bit
NC State and UConn both making the Final Four, both the men and women, as we talk about the entirety of the tournament. We had a dominant team win every game by more than 13 points on the men's side. We didn't really have any major upsets except Kentucky bowing out in the first round.
Yeah.
Right? So on the men's side, it kind of played true to form, right? But on the women's side, you know, again, you know, South Carolina was that undefeated team. So you know, there just was no, you know, no real, you know, triple overtime. You know, there wasn't that FDU over Purdue game that we saw last year. Like you said, so I could see why people would have that comment. But from a pure standpoint of entertainment, a lot of games, you know, a lot of action, a lot of tournaments. I mean, besides the Super Bowl, they say it's the most watched event of the year, the March Madness, you know, March Madness tournament.
Right.
I think the NCAA, though, needs to do a better job with a lot of things. I mean,
it's you can say that
weird
to us.
How you know, you got to put these games on free TV. You can't look every time to make a dollar. You got to look to be smart about it, to brand your sport a little bit better, you know, so.
Well, hopefully we have a better future with that. But let's put a bow on March Madness. That's it. Hopefully this time next year, you and I are speaking about a three-peat for UConn and maybe even the return of glory for the UConn women's basketball team. But
I think so.
Time to go into the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, some baseball in the sports world. If you're a golf fan, Masters weekend, and their majors are starting. And it's just the summertime, and let us see what happens in the future. But great work on this tournament, Russ, and I'll see you really soon.
Appreciate it, Matt. All the best to you. Continue good work over there. Looking forward to a great summer.
Yes,
take
we
care.
are. Much love. Okay. See you.